I want you to consider for a moment this morning what, just kind of think in your mind, what is the most exciting thing that you've ever talked about? I want you to ponder that for a moment. You know, typically people probably think when they think about something exciting, they think about maybe something really, some really exciting news they get to share with someone, right? Maybe it's sharing about an engagement, or it's sharing about the birth of a child, or maybe it's the birth of a grandchild, or maybe it's you got your dream job. Maybe it's something about your sports team won the championship, or whatever it might be. Maybe it's celebrating a child's accomplishment. And so there's probably some things going through your mind this morning, maybe something recently that you got to talk about and you were really excited to talk about it. You're really excited to share about it. What if the gospel was that exciting for you? What if talking about the Son of God taking on flesh, living a perfect life, dying on the cross for our sins, rising again, what if that was so exciting that you couldn't help but go tell it on the mountain, that you couldn't help but talk about it every chance you got because it was such exciting, impactful news in your life? And that, isn't that how it should be? It should be that way, and it sure seems like it was that way for Jesus' disciples, the writers of the Gospels. It seemed like it was that way for Jesus' early followers. It seems like it was that way for people like John the Baptist. And so I want to read here this morning the first four verses of Mark chapter 1, and I want you to notice this with John the Baptist and really what it was like for him as we kind of get the beginning, according to the Gospel of Mark, the beginning of the Christmas story. So it says in Mark chapter 1 that the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's interesting because this ties well with John 1 and Genesis 1, because the way Mark is writing here, it's like there's a new beginning, right? So we had in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and okay, here's a new beginning. It's the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Look, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his paths straight." John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Father God, we do pray that you would help us to have a desire to go tell it on the mountain, to tell it that Jesus Christ is born, that he is the Savior of the world, that he is, as promised, the Messiah, the Savior and the Lord, the one who came for us. In knowing that we have no hope apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, compel us this morning to not only celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus, to celebrate why we're here together, to worship you, but, Father, to be compelled to leave this building this afternoon or this morning and to tell the world what you've done for us through Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen. So comfort and joy, you know, how are you doing with that right now? Just this idea, it's Christmas Eve, you know, Christmas tomorrow, comfort and joy. You know, we talk about that this is the time for comfort and joy, and we should, as followers of Christ, always have comfort and joy, and yet so often in the busyness of life, we struggle. But we know, as we've talked about, as we've looked at Isaiah 40 over these past few weeks, we've talked about the real and lasting comfort and joy come from what God has done for us in and through Christ, right? He is our hope. He is our peace. He is our source of comfort and joy. And so today I want to look at the fact that comfort and joy, there is comfort and joy in proclamation, in going and telling it on the mountains that Jesus Christ is born. Just like John the Baptist pointed people to Jesus, so must we point people to Jesus. And what a joy it is to do so. Let's get excited about this. Let's find comfort in this. There actually can be comfort in the reality of being able to proclaim the good news of Jesus. And so if you don't already, if that's not something, if you'd say, you know what, I don't think I agree with you this morning, Nick. I'm not sure that there's comfort and joy in proclamation. If you struggle for that to be the reality for you, start by just asking God for his grace and his help to really find comfort and joy in proclamation. And so my purpose in the message this morning is that you will rejoice in the proclamation of the gospel. You see, too often, supposed followers of Jesus dread the proclamation of the gospel. Maybe it's because of fear. Well, what will they think? What if they ask me a question I don't have the answer to? You know, there might be that fear that causes you to maybe dread that proclamation. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's laziness. But let's rejoice. Let's rejoice. What a privilege and blessing it is to have the opportunity to talk about the greatest news in the world, right? The thing that we're here to celebrate, we get to talk about that. We have the freedom to do it. And I don't just mean we have the freedom because we live in America, but we have the freedom because we have the Holy Spirit who enables us to do it no matter where we are. And so from the beginning of Mark's gospel, let's consider two reasons there is comfort and joy in proclamation. Certainly, if you follow Jesus, there is joy in proclamation, right? Joy when it's proclaimed and you hear it, and joy when you get to actually proclaim it. There is joy in proclamation because, firstly, as we see in these verses here, the message is good news, right? It's good news, and when you hear good news, you rejoice, don't you? I mean, when you get to share good news, you enjoy doing that. Nobody says, yeah, I've got some good news to share with you. Not very happy about it, but no, I mean, when you share good news, it's good news, and so that gives you joy. There's comfort and joy in good news. And so there's comfort and joy in the proclamation of good news. Is this not the case with everything else? I mean, how much more so should it be the case with the good news that is the message of eternal life for sinners who don't deserve it? I mean, none of us deserves the good news. And yet in Christ, we can have it. We have good news in Christ. I mean, isn't it the reality that when you don't deserve something and you get it, and it's great, it's even more exciting. When something is shocking and something, well, I didn't expect that. I never thought I would get that. You know, people say that. They go and they enter a drawing or something and you win. And you say, I've never won anything in my life. You know, and it's so much more exciting because you didn't expect it. And it wasn't necessarily something you deserved, but you got it. And that's how the gospel is. We don't deserve it. And yet that's such great news, and we receive it through Christ. So look back at verse 1 again. The word gospel, I mean, it means good news. Just generally speaking, gospel means good news. And there is no better news than the news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for our salvation, the salvation of all who believe. There's no better news than that. And so there is joy in proclamation, which not ironically, it fits here with Mark's gospel, because gospel and the word gospel and preaching about Jesus and the grace of God, the power of God to save people, they were seen as one and the same when Mark wrote this. In other words, gospel and proclamation went together. Those who knew it and believed it, they couldn't imagine any other word. So in other words, when you heard the word gospel, it was this idea, yeah, that was some really good news that was being talked about. That's just how it was in the first century. So if it's good news, you're going to talk about it. There wasn't separating of those things. And so why this messenger then, if you continue into verses 2 and 3, why this messenger, why the preparing of the way? Well, because of the good news to come. And the way that we can do this, the way that we can prepare the way for the Lord and make his path straight, the way to do that is to repent and believe. That's how we prepare the way. Turn away from your sins, follow the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how we prepare the way. Again, part of the theme passage of Scripture for this month as we've gone through this series on comfort and joy was Isaiah chapter 40. Remember what it said there at the beginning of Isaiah chapter 40, comfort, comfort, my people, says your God, speak tenderly to Jerusalem and announce to her that her time of forced labor is over. Her iniquity has been pardoned and she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins, a voice of one crying out, prepare the way for the Lord in the wilderness and make a straight highway for our God in the desert. There is joy in proclamation because the message is good news. Comfort, comfort, my people. Not news that we deserve, because we deserve bad news, and yet in Christ there is good news. Prepare the way. How do we prepare the way? By turning from sin and turning to him. That's how we pray. God, you see, God keeps his promises. God sent his Son. His Son did everything that he was promised to do. So turn to him and rejoice. Right back in Mark chapter 1, verse 4, if you look there again, repentance for the forgiveness of sins. I mean, what great news is that? I mean, think about it. What a reason for comfort. What a reason for joy. Now we would say as long as people repent, right? Because I think this is one of the reasons that we struggle to find comfort and joy in proclamation, because so often is the case that the response to the proclamation of the gospel is not repentance and faith. And so that's difficult, right? We would agree. We don't rejoice when somebody rejects the gospel. And yet at the same time, we know that because the gospel is good news and because God is the one who changes hearts, I don't change hearts. You don't change hearts, but God is the one who changes hearts. We can find comfort and joy in proclamation because it's good news that is for all who believe. That is for all who repent. And so even when it's difficult, even when the response isn't what we would like, we can still rejoice because God is in control. And because if that message has been proclaimed, if the gospel has been given, God can do anything he wants. God can change a hard heart. God can soften that heart to respond to him. And so we rejoice that, praise God, the gospel is proclaimed. The good message, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed. Our sin makes us deserving of eternal damnation in hell. That's the bad news. That's for all that deserve it, right? And yet at the same time, if we turn from our sins, if we trust in Jesus, we are forgiven. That's why this is good news. That's why we rejoice, because we're made right with God when we turn to him. You see how good this news is? I mean, do you find comfort and joy in proclaiming this good news? Do you find comfort and joy when you hear this good news proclaimed? If you're a follower of Jesus, I believe you do. I don't see how there's any other option. If this is not a real source of comfort and joy for you, please consider your heart this morning. Examine your life. Examine your standing before God. Make sure that you are prepared, that you prepare the way, right? Prepare the way, as the calling is here in Mark chapter 1, as he's quoting Isaiah chapter 40. Prepare the way. Really, we get how this works, don't we, when it comes to preparing the way? I mean, we get it. We do it all the time when we prepare and we announce people of honor. We prepare the way, right? Or what about what happens before a sporting event happens? The starters are announced, right? The crowd cheers. The starters are announced. The way is being prepared so that we know who's playing. What are they doing? We know when they walk out on the court, why is that person on the court? Well, the way has been prepared. We've announced this person is playing in this spot and he's starting. And so we're preparing the way to understand what's about to happen. Or what about when company is going to come over? Kids, what do your parents do? Because I know it's not you, right? Parents. Kids, what do your parents do when company is about to come over? What do they do to the house? Yeah, they prepare it, right? They prepare the home. And now, isn't it always like this too? Like husband and wife just... looking into each other's eyes with the broom in our hands. I love preparing the way. The bliss. Okay, maybe it's not always that way, but especially if there's special guests or maybe it's family. You know, this is the time of year, the holidays, that we might be having family over. And so we prepare the way. We prepare the home. Maybe we clean. Maybe we vacuum. We might even put on nicer clothes. We might get out of our pajama pants, depending on the company. And we might cook a good meal. Now, why do we do all of those things? Because we want to make them feel welcomed, right? I mean, do they feel more or less welcome when you go out of your way to prepare things? They feel more welcomed, obviously. And so we do that to make people feel welcomed, to show that we care. Well, think about how important it is when we think about preparing the way. How are you preparing your heart, in your mind, in your life, in your family, for the second coming of Jesus? Right? The first Advent, what we celebrate this time of year, the fact that Jesus took on flesh, was born of a virgin, came into this world, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for our sins, rose again, then he ascended into heaven. But he's coming again. He's coming again. And that same call to prepare the way is still there before all of us. Prepare the way. We have to be ready for a second coming. Just as we have to embrace his first coming, we have to be ready for a second coming. If you know and understand and are seeking to prepare the way, then you can find and will have comfort and joy in this truth. You'll have comfort and joy in the proclamation because it tells you this is how you prepare the way. This is how you get ready for the return of Christ, to repent and to believe, to follow Jesus. If you're not ready, though, comfort and joy isn't possible. It's not. You're going to look for it in all the wrong places. Because everybody, without exception, every human being on this planet wants comfort and joy. Nobody says, I just want to be really uncomfortable and I want my life to be miserable. Nobody says that. We all want comfort and joy. And yet when you don't have a relationship with Christ, you're going to try to find that comfort and joy in all the wrong places. Be ready, prepare the way. If you do prepare the way, then you see why it's good news. There is comfort and joy in the proclamation because the message is good news. Secondly, God is faithful. God is faithful. You can't name a promise that he has failed to keep, because God never fails to keep his promises. We might not always understand the big picture. We might not always get it. We might not always understand his perfect timing, but God is always faithful. Always, 100% of the time. You know, you look back at verse 1 again, he is faithful to make the good news possible by sending his son to live, to die, to rise again. There's no good news without God's son. And if God doesn't send his son, he's not faithful and true. And he doesn't send his son if he's not faithful and true. You see, God is always faithful. He's faithful to keep his promises, including sending prophets and urging us to be prepared, to prepare the way. He said it would happen. He said this. We read it in Isaiah 40. Hundreds of years before John the Baptist, hundreds of years before Jesus came, he said this was going to happen. And it happened just like he said it would, because God is faithful. He's faithful also to forgive sins for all who repent and turn to him. Right? Forgiveness of sins and a right relationship with God only come through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. That's why John was urging people to repent. That's why he was talking so much about Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, who fulfilled God's promises. He talked so much about him because that's how you prepare the way. That's how you get a right relationship with God, by turning to Jesus. There's comfort and joy in proclamation because God is faithful. If you truly believe this, you'll find great delight in sharing about him and what he's done for you. You'll want to talk about your testimony. You'll be like John the Baptist, and you'll say with great conviction and joy about Jesus, he must increase, but I must decrease, because he is faithful, always, 100% of the time. So I must decrease, he must increase, and I must decrease. God is faithful, and so in a recent special issue of The Voice of the Martyrs, you can read about a 75-year-old man named Laya Powell. He's a Christian man living in Southeast Asia. Several years ago, he was arrested for sharing his faith in Jesus, and he led about 8 families to the Lord, and he was put in prison for 5 months. He was repeatedly beaten for his faith. He was knocked unconscious multiple times, broken ribs, treated harshly, obviously. When he was released, obviously, after he was released, he didn't share the gospel anymore, right? Because it's too dangerous. No, didn't matter. He just kept sharing the gospel. He kept talking about his faith. He kept leading more and more people to Christ. And then he was arrested again, and this time he spent 2 years in prison. He was again beaten over and over for his faith, multiple injuries. They tried to torture him. They used poisonous beetles to torture him. They used electric cattle prods. Again, they would beat him until he was unconscious. And after being released, what did he do? Same thing he did when he was in prison, the same thing he did before he went to prison. He just kept sharing the gospel. He kept finding comfort and joy in proclamation. And he was arrested a third time. He was threatened, he was tortured, but he said to his authorities, after this third time he was arrested, and they were trying to threaten him and saying, if you keep doing this, you're a dead man. And this is what he said. He said, no matter what you may do to me, it will not stop me from sharing the message of salvation in this village. I will share the gospel with everybody in order that they may receive salvation. I do not fear death. We think about this man, years of difficulty and suffering for his faith, but Powell is still at it today. He's 75 years old, 75, and he's staying strong for Jesus. Do you know why? Because God is faithful, and Powell knows it. He's experienced it. He believes it, and because God is faithful, Powell is remaining faithful. Because as God is faithful and he gives his Holy Spirit to all who call on his name, then all who know him remain faithful to him. He's pressing on because he knows that following Jesus is worth the cost. He's pressing on because God is faithful. He's continually sharing the gospel and making disciples because there is comfort and joy in proclamation. In asking for prayer, I was reading in this article, this is what Powell said. He said, pray that I will open my mouth to share the gospel, not only to the villagers, but whenever I have a chance to meet the officers, that I would also share the gospel to them. He said, I cannot stay home without sharing the gospel. My heart would go out. Most people would say, Powell, you got to stop sharing the gospel. They're going to kill you. And he says, no, I will die if I don't share the gospel. My heart will stop because that's why I'm here. And so he said, don't just pray that I'll share with these villagers. These guys that are arresting me and they want to kill me, pray that I'll share with them too. Pray that I'll be faithful because God is faithful. And so Paul finished by saying, he said, I am not afraid, even if I die tomorrow, I am not afraid because I have God with me. God is faithful. God is faithful. And so that's why he's not afraid. That's why he can do, that's why Paul can do what he's doing, because God is faithful. And so there is comfort and joy in proclamation, even when it's difficult, which it is for most people in the world. We don't realize how good we have it here. It is difficult for people like Paul, and yet he is staying strong and he is finding comfort and joy in proclamation because God is faithful. Do you have that kind of faith and commitment? And you might say, well, I don't know, because I've never been in a situation like that. I've never been arrested for my faith. I've never been beaten because I'm a Christian. But you know what? If you have a relationship with Christ, then you do have that kind of commitment, that kind of desire. Doesn't mean that you're perfect. You're far from it. All of us is far from where we need to be. And yet, if you have his Holy Spirit, you're able to do the same thing Paul is doing because God is faithful. Remember, I said my purpose today is that you will rejoice in the proclamation of the gospel. Again, if this isn't your reality, are you sure you've surrendered your life to Jesus? If you have, it certainly doesn't mean you're going to be perfect and always sharing the gospel like you should. None of us is perfect. So there's going to be ups and downs in your obedience, but the desire should be there. The longing for people to know that Jesus is the only way for us to be right with God, that longing should be there. You should have that desire, and you should rejoice when you hear the gospel proclaimed. When somebody shares the gospel, you're thinking, praise God, thank you. And when you have the opportunity to share the gospel, you're saying, praise God, thank you. So I want to challenge you this morning to respond rightly to the word of God. Respond to John the Baptist's example. Respond to the call in Mark chapter 1 and in Isaiah chapter 40. Respond by rejoicing and proclaiming. Rejoice in the good news because our Savior, our Messiah, our Lord is born. And he lived a perfect life. So proclaim the good news. He's coming again. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he will come again. Cry out to God for his help and provision that you might be found faithful in him. Because he alone is perfect. He created you to find your purpose, your meaning, your fulfillment, your satisfaction in him. Your comfort and joy in him. A right relationship with him. That's what he created you to have. He created you to long for. He created you to find. And yet, we know the reality is that we all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. Our sin demands justice and judgment. That's why this is such good news, by the way, because what we deserve, the justice and judgment that we deserve, that's not what we receive when we put our faith in Jesus. See, we deserve eternal damnation in hell. And yet, when we put our faith in Jesus, the one that God sent to rescue us, his one and only son, the one that he prepared the way for, as we read here in Mark chapter 1, when we put our faith in Jesus, we are rescued from what we deserve. We are rescued from that justice and that judgment because Jesus took it on himself. He died on the cross in our place. He took our judgment on himself on the cross. And so now the good news of the gospel, because he rose from the dead and he defeated sin and death forever, the good news of the gospel is that when we turn from sin, as Mark called the people to, when we repent, when we turn from sin and we put our faith in Jesus, then he restores our relationship with God. In other words, he makes us right with God. We're not good enough to be right with God. We can't earn our relationship with God to be right. And yet, by putting our faith in Jesus, he makes us right with God. And we have the promise of eternal restoration, eternal life with God and with all who know him. And so if you haven't yet surrendered your all to Jesus, don't leave without doing that this morning. There's nothing more important that you could do than to make sure that you have a right relationship with Jesus, because he alone can make you right with God. He alone can secure your eternal life. But if you have said yes and surrendered your heart to Jesus, if you've turned away from your sin and asked him to take over your life, then you're going to find comfort and joy in the proclamation of this good news. You're going to desire to share it, and you're going to ask for God's help, because you and I both know we don't share it as often as we should. And so there's that constant reminder, God, help me. Please help me. Give me the wisdom. Give me the boldness. Give me the courage. Give me the desire. When you consider rejoicing in the gospel, when you consider proclaiming the gospel, who comes to mind for you this morning? Who are you praying for? And do you love that person enough to step out of your comfort zone and to not just be content that they're walking away from Jesus? Because to love them isn't to hold their hand as they walk away from Jesus. To love them is to plead with them, please get right with God. There's only one way to eternal life. There's only one way for the forgiveness of sins. There's only one way for you to find purpose and meaning and fulfillment now and to have it for eternity, and that's by surrendering your life to Jesus. And so to love someone enough to share that with them is the most important thing that we can do for them. It's the best gift we can give them, is to do that. And so who are you helping right now to walk with Jesus? And by the way, who's helping you? Because we all need help. And so who's helping you to walk with Christ? If we say our passion is the gospel, our church is our family, our world is our mission, that really sums up what John the Baptist was all about, right? That sums up the early church. Finding comfort and joy in proclamation because our passion is the gospel. And then living that out by walking with others who are helping us walk it out as well, because our church is our family. And then knowing that we want to go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born, because our world is our mission and there's no other way for people to be saved than to accept, to trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Father God, that's our prayer this morning, that we would go tell it on the mountain, that we would have a desire to be like Pau. Baya Pau, who, despite the difficulty, despite going to prison multiple times, despite being beaten, despite having broken ribs, despite being tortured, he continues to share his faith. He continues to stand strong. He continues to live for you. Why? Because you are faithful. So, Father, help us to rejoice in the good news, knowing that it's the only message that saves us from our sins. And, Father, help us to desire to look to you and depend on you, knowing that you are faithful and you will help us to live a life of proclamation, a life that declares Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Father, we pray for Pau, just as he asked in that article. He asked that we'd pray for him not only to share the gospel with villagers, but to share the gospel with officials who are threatening him, who have arrested him multiple times. Give him the boldness. And Father, let us learn from his example. Let us be compelled, like John the Baptist, like the early disciples, like the early church, let us be compelled to live out our faith regardless of the difficulty, regardless of the cost, regardless of the discomfort that comes from it, but to rather find comfort and joy in living out that faith, because we have a God who is faithful, because we have eternal life that we don't deserve when we put our faith in Jesus. Father, for those who are here this morning who haven't yet surrendered their all to you, who haven't yet turned from sin and asked you to take over, please give them the desire to do that right now. Right now in their minds and hearts, to cry out to you, to ask for your forgiveness, to ask for your salvation, and to surrender their all to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.